You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, good evening, young lady. It's a very warm evening tonight in Texas. And how is the nice iced Arizona iced tea I made for you?
Oh, I love it. Love peach.
It's not like I make it. I just open up.
I just pour it into a jug
and I pour it into a glass full of ice. Hey, let's get into this because I've got to tell you, Lynn, I think, and I don't think this is a very controversial statement, but I think this is the most dangerous Congress we have ever had in my lifetime. What do you think?
Oh, I absolutely agree. They are dangerous in so many ways.
Well, you know, it's you know, there's all sorts of different types of danger, but there are so many levels of the danger that this Congress creates because it's a national security danger that they've created with the entire border thing, and I want to go in deeply with that. It is our personal security. It is their dislike, distrust of law enforcement, their failure to fund law enforcement. I mean, I want to get into all the different areas in support of my argument and my allegation, which is a very serious allegation, that this is the worst and the most dangerous Congress ever. Where do you want to start?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm big into bad behavior with those people. I mean, you have to start with the border and talk about what they are not doing on the border, and they're not doing their job at all.
Well, you know, I was talking with Malcolm on Viewpoint, and we were discussing the border, and we were discussing the Mexican cartels that have just infiltrated the United States, and they're all over the place. And, you know, there are five major transnational Mexican drug cartels, the Sinaloa, the Juarez, the Jalisco New Generation, the Gulf, the Beltran Leyva cartels. And the main states that they operate out of course, are California, Texas, Southern Florida, New York, New Jersey. Those are the centers. And they control the flow of drugs, including the most dangerous drug we've ever seen, and that's fentanyl. So they handle the meth, they handle the heroin, but the fentanyl is absolutely deadly. And I don't know if you know this, but just last year, we had 32,000 overdose deaths attributed to the primary drug, which is fentanyl. All right, now there's other drugs that people OD from, but the primary killer of people in the United States is fentanyl. And last year alone, 32,000 people. And when I was talking with Malcolm, I put it in perspective. And I said, you know, we were in Vietnam for about 15 years, and we lost approximately 58,000 of our fighting men and women. 58,000 in 15 years. Compare and contrast that to losing 32,000 people to drug overdose in just 1 year in the United States. And Lynn, that does not include all the drug-related gang violence, because when you go to Baltimore, when you go to Chicago, when you go to Oakland, when you go to Los Angeles, and all these different cities where they are bumping off people left and right, it's primarily drug gangs that are killing each other, not just over territory, but over the drugs. And then we talk about one of your favorite topics, and that is the sex trafficking, the trafficking of children, the trafficking of people.
Which nobody pays attention to in our Congress.
No, not whatsoever. And so that's extremely dangerous. So immigration, hundreds of thousands of people that they've allowed to breach our borders and come into the United States. Then what that causes is DPS and Border Patrol and Protection now has to leave their primary law enforcement responsibilities, which is our security and our protection. And now they've got to play mommy and daddy to a bunch of hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens with all their kids and all this other stuff. And our border is not secure. They fight President Trump every step of the way. And these judges fight President Trump every step of the way of trying to secure the border. So that's just another thing.
Well, they don't want President Trump to get a win at the cost to everybody else in the country. And that is disgraceful on behalf of our elected officials. They are so focused on beating Trump, indicting Trump, impeaching Trump, bad-mouthing Trump, not giving him anything that they consider a win, that they are willing to take us all down the drain with them. And that's just what's so despicable and dangerous, as you say, about this Congress. Their focus is completely in the wrong directions. And not only is their focus in the wrong directions wrong, but they put out misinformation to the American people. This whole thing has really bothered me about them going down to the border for a peek, is what I call it. They didn't hang out there. They didn't really see what was going on. They didn't even walk inside of the facilities. And then they put out misinformation to the American people.
Well, you know, you call it misinformation. Dangerous. I'll call it an outright lie, Linda.
Well, it is an outright lie. Yeah. I'm probably being too kind about it.
Yeah.
But they put out misinformation when in reality, when people have actually gone into these places, what they find is, again, that these people inside of our ICE facilities and inside of our detention centers are treated better than they have been treated in their own countries, certainly in their travels, and better than a lot of people in our country. Because I'll tell you what, there are not a lot of people in our country who are citizens, who are living on the streets, who are getting soap and water and toothbrushes and three meals a day
and snacks Xboxes
and Xboxes and exercise
and free medical care and free
medical
psychiatric
care.
Yeah, it's
our
crazy.
Own citizens are living on the streets while illegals are living in these detention centers with really all of the comforts of home. And they have chosen to come there and be there where our citizens are languishing on the streets. I just think it's disgraceful the way that our, not just our Congress, but I guess that's really where it all starts. It's also the local governments in the different states that allow this to happen, and mainly California and some of the other states that have this. Because, you know, New York, they've done some good things with their homeless. They did this years ago, and they really, about 90% of their homeless are now in shelters, where in California, they're all over the streets. In Baltimore, they're all over the streets. In different cities, Seattle, they're all over the streets. San Diego, they're all over the streets. So, you know, these people are treated better, yet the word coming out from our Congress is that President Trump is somehow mistreating and abusing these people.
You know, you're 100% right. And I want to spend some time now and talk about the squad, okay? So I want to talk about AOC. I want to talk about Tlaib. I want to talk about Omar. And I can't remember the other black gal's name that's out of Michigan. But I want to talk about, since President Obama became the president of the United States, obviously our first, black president, and race relations since the time that Obama took office have just been getting steadily worse. I'm finding that people that used to get along racially, now they look at each other with skepticism. There is bad behavior. There is downright racism, but I don't see it other than the stupid alt-right and, you know, the normal, spattering of these small cliques of white supremacist organizations, which are really inconsequential. Yes, we have them. Yes, they're dangerous. I worked them, as you remember, you know, as a detective. I infiltrated them. I worked them, arrested a lot of them. But it is nothing whatsoever, nothing compared to these other groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter and these Marxist and socialist and communist organizations that are out there throughout the United States. And these are the people that you see protesting. These are the people like Antifa people that beat up Andy Ngo. All right. These are those type of people, like up in Seattle. And then, every single time that the squad opens their mouth, it's either anti-Semitic or it's anti-white. And if you can't tell me that's racism, I don't know what else to say. You know, everything they do comes from an anti-Semitic or a racist bent.
Well, the one person that you couldn't name is Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts. But yeah, this whole conversation, you know how I feel about this conversation. We've discussed it 100 times. It is tedious for everybody to be using this race card. And, you know, just this week, this is the game that they play. And this is the game that our Congress, our elected officials play, and the media is complicit. And it's just absolutely, to me, is disgusting. So you have Elijah Cummings, who comes out, and he berated our acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAlanon during an oversight committee meeting. And he was berating him over the border, which we just discussed. You know, they're talking about all this fake news about the border. Well, President Trump comes back, and he's upset about this fake news attack that Elijah Cummings unleashed on McLennan. And he said that this Elijah Cummings, who represents Baltimore, and President Trump said, hey, Baltimore is as dirty and dangerous as anywhere. And, you know, you're sitting here complaining about the people in the border facilities. Go back and look at where you come from and do something about that, that it's rat infested and that it's, you know, dirty and full of trash. And what did they do, Ron? They came back, the media and our politicians came back and said that President Trump was calling black people in Baltimore rats. And, you know, they completely twisted his words. He never said any such thing. He was saying, and he's right, I've been to Baltimore, you've been to Baltimore, he's absolutely right. Take a look. I challenge anybody to take a look at the pictures of the situation in Baltimore with trash all over the streets. It's the same as in Los Angeles, right, with trash and feces all over the streets. And it does beg rats to come and live there. And they do. And they have an infestation, which is causing a lot of problems and diseases. So rather than listen to what our president really said, which is absolutely true, that where Elijah Cummings comes from is more filthy and dangerous than are these ICE detention centers. But it's played completely differently. And then they all jump on the bandwagon and say that he said something different. I just find that so insulting to the American people, that people that we elect act this way.
Well, you know, I wrote about Baltimore, and I did the analysis on the Freddie Gray case, which is in Baltimore. And I have to tell you that that is one of the most corrupt city and county administrations in the country. Baltimore, at least last year in 2018, was the number one center for homicide gun violence in the United States. It beat out Chicago. Chicago's number two. All right. And the police officers are leaving in droves. They have a huge problem trying to maintain their staffing in Baltimore because everybody's bailing the heck out of there. And yeah, I have cases in Baltimore. I've had cases in Baltimore. And it is a cesspool. And it's too bad because there are so many other good things about the city. But as long as you have that corrupt administration and you have that level of gun violence, that city is never going to get better. And it's people like Elijah Cummings, who's in the Black Congressional Caucus, if I believe. He's one of the leaders in the Black Congressional Caucus. All he does is criticize our president of the United States, and he can't even go home and take care of business and be a leader in his own community.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, if you watch the Twitter war about these comments, it's just so very interesting that Americans of all colors who live in Baltimore absolutely agreed with the president. And they said that Donald Trump was being kind when he said that it's rat infested. That it's worse than that. They took videos. You can go onto Twitter and look at all the reaction and see that what is being said about what is being said is totally false, and that what President Trump said is a truth, and they're making it into something racist. Has nothing to do with race. By the way, to my mind, Ron, it's more racist for our people in Congress, especially our Black members of Congress, to be insulted by this and say that it's okay for all of their Black brothers and sisters to be living in this kind of an environment. Come on, get real. This is not how anybody wants to live. I don't care what color you are. Elijah Cummings, do something about it and stop throwing down the race card. This has nothing to do with race. This has to do with humanity and the way that the people of your community that you're representing are mistreated.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And, we began this second part of our conversation in talking about race relations. And I absolutely agree with you, Lynn, and everybody else. The stuff that's coming back to me from all of my friends and what I'm hearing in social media and in the regular media is that this term racist and racism has just been just kicked around so much that it's really lost its meaning. It's lost the strength of its meaning. To me, a person is a racist when the first words that come out of their mouth is, well, as a this kind of person or a that kind of person, meaning color, all right, this person or that, I'm a this kind of person, I'm a that kind of person. Then the next thing is, that's very telling, is every way that they look at life and everything that happens and all the circumstances that surround them and what they do, they look at it through the prism of their race first instead of what is factually correct. So everything is looked through by the prism of race. All the decisions that they make are racially made decisions. How they run their life is according to race. And I mean, that's a racist to me.
Well, here's another racist thing,
just like,
I think.
Let me just say this one mm-hmm. thing. People say, well, white supremacy and this and that. I'm going to tell you what, I don't care what color you are, okay? I don't care what color you are. If you're a white person and everything that comes out of your mouth is I'm a white person and white people do this and white people need to do this and everything they say about minorities is disparaging and offensive, that person's a white supremacist. That person is a racist. But there are Black racists. There are Asian racists. There are Muslim races, there are Chinese races, any kind of race. Obviously Muslims are a religion, but that's the other thing. So you have to really watch out for that. It's just like the whole LGBTQ community. Every time that someone identifies themselves, they say, well, as a gay person or as a transgender or as a whatever, I don't want to hear that from you. Okay, tell me about your character. That's what I want to hear. I want to know about you. I don't want to know about what you are. I'd like to know about what you do, but I don't want to know about what you are. Just talk to me as a normal person. Let's get along as two human beings.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. That we're all human beings.
Exactly.
All the other stuff aside. But yet, here's what's interesting, that Nancy Pelosi has put together a trip to go to Ghana, where she thinks that some of the first slaves were brought over to America, and they're going to go have some sort of celebration and something to do with slavery in America. And who is she taking with her but her Black caucus from Congress, the Black caucus? Okay, to me, that is racist. Okay, these are just all people. And why are we continuing to focus on this divide by the color of people's skin instead of, you want to take those people somewhere, take them to Elijah Cummings' district in Baltimore and talk to the people there.
Absolutely.
Their health much more than the people in Ghana do.
Exactly. Do something in your own community. Don't spend the taxpayer money going to other countries for a photo op. Get into those communities that you are supposed to be representing and take care of your people. Linda, how about another glass of iced tea?
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to responsetoactiveshooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, responsetoactiveshooter.com, and be safe out there.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Spreading the outlaw truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, there's so much to say about this Congress. Why don't we get into this whole issue, Lynn, about Trump derangement syndrome and everything that the Congress is doing to thwart our poor, beleaguered President of the United States. You know, I don't want to use the word beleaguered. He's not beleaguered. He's in control of everything that's going on. Nothing fazes this guy. But I want to talk about all the idiocy with the Congress right after the Mueller report.
Well, and they haven't let up on that. And I do want to talk about the whole Mueller thing, because, you know, we had the congressional meeting with Robert Mueller, and oh my goodness, I don't think it was what they expected.
Oh, it certainly wasn't. I think it was extremely. Did you get to listen to any of it? I listened to just a little bit of it. It was extremely disappointing. He sounded all discombobulated. Okay, he sounded like an old guy. He didn't sound like he was in command of the facts. And
I think it was extremely telling and extremely sad. And I did watch a lot of it. I actually couldn't take my eyes off of it because I just expected a completely different person there, and he was not in command of the facts. He did not know his own report that has his name on it. He would not discuss things that led up to the report, and he made several very critical mistakes, one of which he did go back and correct. So,
oh, are you talking about with Congressman Lee? When Congressman Lee asked him that question, and then he had to go back and he had to sort of eat dirt and tell everybody that he made a mistake.
Yeah, that Trump that right. It was about why they did not find Trump guilty of collusion or
obstruction.
Obstruction or whatever. And he said it was because you couldn't do that to a sitting president. And he went back and corrected himself. That was not why they didn't find that. They didn't find it because there was nothing there.
That's exactly right. There were no elements.
Right.
There were no elements that would put together probable cause to be able to indict the president of the United States for anything, not just collusion, but obstruction of justice or anything. There were not the elements.
Right. But here's the thing about that whole hearing that bothered me. First of all, you had the usual grandstanding by the people on the committees.
Of course.
But on both sides, more so on the Democratic side, thanking him for his great work and this and that. But they tried to lead him in directions that he was not prepared to go in, or, you know, he wasn't going to be led into some admission that wasn't in the report. The thing is, what you could tell, what every American could tell, this guy is not all there anymore, and it's unfortunate, but it's a fact of life, and that we Americans spent $35 million on something that he really was not invested in, that he doesn't have the mental capacity to handle, and therefore it was his minions doing the work. And we were all fooled and misled and robbed of our money. And that, I think, is just disgraceful.
Well, you know, let me add this. It isn't just the money that we were robbed. We were robbed of precious time.
2 years of our president's time, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. And can you imagine all the things that we could have done in those 2 years? You know, I'm remindful of that conversation we had with our good friend Carlos in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or so. And he was telling us about President Obregón and how everybody is, or at least he said about 85% of the legislature is behind him. Even people that opposed him are behind him now in Mexico. We saw Mexico is starting to thrive. Can you just imagine what would happen if the Congress and the Senate got behind President Trump? And I swear to God, this economy would just rocket ship to the moon. I mean, it's already doing so well now, but can you imagine all the things that could be accomplished? All the new jobs, all the trade deals, the peace and the security of our nation. Can you just imagine if they would just back off of this man? And, you know, if you want to impeach the guy, impeach him at the ballot box. But for God's sakes, if we're going in the right direction and you can't argue about the economy, leave the guy alone and let him do his damn job.
Well, they can't leave him alone. And the thing is, even still, after they got everything that they wanted, they got their Mueller report, they got Robert Mueller to come in and testify in front of them, which didn't work out so well. Nadler and his ilk in Congress cannot stop talking about impeaching the president. And, you know, they just won't get off of this. It's like a broken record. You know, it just keeps repeating and repeating and repeating. And so now they want to subpoena Donald Trump's sons and daughters' personal emails just to see what they've been doing there, find out who takes care of their children, find out all of these things. I mean, this is crazy. They are saying that the reason that they want to do this is because this is what Rashida Tlaib says, that it's a public interest, that we have the right to know. Well, how come you didn't say all of that about Hillary's emails that we had the right to know? How you didn't say that when she deleted all of her emails and you protected her all this time? This hypocrisy in this Congress is just so over the top. I just truly think that Americans see through this and they're tired of it. But the big issue, Ron, is as all of this is happening, you know, we as the American people are losing out on things that need to be done. Now, to everybody's credit, they did just stop, you know, another government shutdown. But the Republicans aren't happy because they feel that they're bankrupting our children. They keep raising the debt ceiling. And right. I agree with that. I want to see President Trump cut spending. But every time he tries to do something to cut spending, you know, they come back and they cut something that he needs done. This is just, we're just in a lose-lose situation. But I do want to say one more thing.
Yeah,
and
no
that's
problem.
About the wall that Trump won in the Supreme Court. And how do you feel about that?
No, I feel fantastic. We're going to get $2 billion from the Pentagon. And with that, we'll be able to build about 100 miles of wall. My understanding is the locations of where the wall is going to be built is going to be California, and there'll be new wall and also upgrades to the wall in, I believe it's
Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas.
And Texas. So, yeah. Yep, I think it's all three of our border states with the country of Mexico. And thank God for that. But, you know, you still get these federal court judges, and I believe they still come out of California, that are fighting President Trump tooth and nail. And, of course, the ACLU is getting involved again and trying to slow down the process. And, you know, they're trying to do everything they can to prevent President Trump from securing the border. And when you can't secure the border, Linda, it is, like I was talking with Malcolm on Viewpoint, that's how you get these guys like this this former Mexican police officer that got caught by Texas DPS bringing in 33 kilos of fentanyl, enough to kill 10 million people. Okay,
I mean
drop a hydrogen bomb on a state, for God's sakes, you know.
Yes. And again, our Congress is not doing anything about the border, nothing. And it's been, 2 years that they've, it's been a year, I guess, that they've, you know, had the Democratic majority. They've done nothing. They've done nothing about anything other than try to impeach this president. I think, too, you know, when you and I have been talking about the things that are coming over the border, it's not just over land. It's also on the ocean.
Sure.
They took $350 million of cocaine off of boats out in the ocean trying to
bring drugs coming into Philadelphia, right? Coming into Philadelphia. They got
well, no, I don't know where it was coming into, but that the boats were seized in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, okay.
Near San Diego.
Oh, and then did you see the video of that low profile? It was almost like a submarine. It was almost under the
water. I did.
Did you see that? And those things are going left and right, up and down the coast, and they got a ton or something of cocaine and methamphetamine out of that darn thing. And these things are going left and right. And so this is the Congress. We have people that are actually engaged in a war against the United States, the cartels, a war against the United States. And then we have the belligerent nations of Iran and North Korea. And also we have our strategic adversary, China, trying to take over the South China Seas and build strategic military bases on these, you know, coral reefs. We have so much stuff going on that is threatening our safety and security of the American people. And we've got the Congress that doesn't do anything. They haven't passed any meaningful legislation. And now they're going away on their summer break for 32 days.
Oh, well, of course.
They're just going to go. Yeah, they're going to go back to their, you know, the places where they come from. And they're going to be, meeting with a couple of constituents. But mostly it's all trying to get money and running for office the next time around. It's absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the meantime, President Trump keeps on trucking and he's doing the things that he needs to do, which just amazes me that he just continues to plug through all of this and get things done. So he struck a deal with Guatemala for Guatemala to serve as a safe third country for asylum seekers, which means that Guatemala would be required to accept some asylum seekers within its own borders of people that are heading up through Guatemala. So maybe a migrant from Honduras or somewhere, they would have to first seek asylum in Guatemala or Mexico before the U.S. So they can't just pass on through and say, no, sorry, I don't want your asylum. I'm headed to the U.S. Because asylum means that you are running from something that is threatening you, and you need to seek asylum in the first place that you come to, not that you're heading to the U.S. Mm-hmm. So he's gotten that done. He's gotten a lot more cooperation with Mexico as well. And, you know, I just think that it's really commendable that he just keeps plugging forward and doing these things for the American people. And I truly hope that the American people see this and understand the value of what he is doing, because their Congress people certainly are not doing it.
And you know, speaking of international relations, is it Boris Johnson? Is that the new Prime Minister of Britain? Is his last name Johnson?
Oh,
what's his name? Anyway, let's just say he's the new Prime Minister of Great Britain. He and President Trump have got a friendship. They've already got a relationship. And of course, the new prime minister is a Brexit guy. And, you know, Trump was on television today, you know, talking about how he really looks forward to probably having one of the best relationships that we've had with Great Britain since the time of Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan. So boy, I'll tell you what, I'm all excited about a upgraded relationship with Great Britain, because I mean, they have been our strategic partners forever. And I always like it when we get along with the Brits.
Yeah. And it is Boris Johnson. And Boris Johnson, I believe that he was born in the U.S. I believe he has dual citizenship.
Oh, I did not know that.
I could be wrong there. But yes, he is a friend to the United States. He is a Brexit guy. And I think that you're going to see some good things coming from that. And at the same time, what we're seeing too is we're seeing a lot of these countries standing by the U.S. in the Iran situation and the North Korean situation. And you're seeing, Iran get really more desperate because they are having a lot of trouble with the restraints and the financial,
Yeah, their economy is a shambles. The inflation rate is like 1,000% over there. And, we're tightening the noose. And, you know, speaking of belligerents that are acting out, you know, North Korea just sent up a couple of medium range test missiles just the other day because we're doing our war games, you know, our annual war games with South Korea. And so, of course, Kim Jong-un has got to create some attention for himself, because he's very frustrated that we want them to negotiate, but we're not putting up with any, you know, BS from them. And so now he's trying to do things to attract Trump's attention. I'm telling you what, I think President Trump is in the driver's seat on that one. But again, you need to get behind the President of the United States to make our strategic bargaining position strong. You don't want to show weakness and dissension to our enemies. And North Korea is definitely an enemy. You know, Trump, you know, is talking nice with Ung, but let's not mince words here. North Korea is the enemy.
Sure. Yep. As is Iran and some other places as well. But, you know, I think that your point has been well made, that the Congress is a dangerous Congress, that it's a do-nothing Congress. And, you know, as elections come up, we need to fix it. The American people need to get off of their I always vote this way mindset and really look at who's running and what they really stand for. Because when you get people in our Congress like Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib and especially Ilhan Omar, who I don't think are friends of this country. I just don't see that their value system meshes with the majority of Americans. It does absolutely mesh with a very small minority of Americans and people that are angry and that are hateful and that, you know, are of that persuasion, that are, you know, living in that mindset of America is a bad place, or we want socialism. But the majority of the Americans in the country don't feel that way. They need to pay attention to how they vote.
Well, that's true. And Dave, let me just say this. I am all out of iced tea.
Oh, well, you're just drinking that tonight.
Have you been watching me? I've been slurping it down. So let's just take a minute. Let's go get some more tea, and we'll just come back because we're having a lively discussion tonight.
Okay.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You know, I want to talk to you about this new development that's happening in New York with people throwing buckets of water at the police.
That is so dangerous, Linda. That's this whole anarchy, bad behavior. And I'm going to tell you, somebody's going to get hurt as a result of it.
You know, back in the day, if you did that to a police officer, I mean, you would have been probably beat up and you would have been taken off to jail. I watched the videos of this happening. I was shocked because people just walk right up to an officer as they are either talking to somebody or writing a ticket or just doing what they do as officers, and walk up right behind them and throw a big bucket of water over them. And it's not just one person. It's two, three, four. And I even saw children as young as about 6 to 8 years old walking over and doing copying their
adults, and
throwing water on police officers. I was absolutely just shocked at where we have gotten in this country. And I did not see any officer retaliate.
No, because they're scared to retaliate, okay? I mean, that's what it is. It's the mob mentality. And you know who's at fault of that? Bill de Blasio.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that cowardly mayor, you know, he's not going anywhere in this presidential thing. He can't even find anybody to donate any money to him. All right. So he's not even going to be allowed to run for president of the United States, because you have to have, I guess, 1% of, I guess, a certain amount of money in order to be considered to be a candidate for the presidency. He can't even get that. All right. And he's a hated mayor. and he has completely disenfranchised himself from the law enforcement community. And if I was his commissioner of police, I would be embarrassed to be working with that guy. I can't even imagine being the PC and walking into that guy's office every day, because they brief almost every single day, and listening to anything that this guy had to say. I don't need the money. I don't need the prestige that much to work for Adam Henry like that guy.
Well, Bill de Blasio is not respected by the people in the department, and he does not respect the officers whatsoever. He is a totally incompetent leader, and he should not be there. But, you know, these officers should not have to put up with this. I don't know about you, but I certainly know that if this would have happened, you know, back in the day. It would have... it would have been dealt with immediately and harshly, and it wouldn't happen again. Bill de Blasio is, he's just a coward, and he does not support the NYPD, who are some of the best officers in the world.
Yeah, and you know, you and I love to go to, you know, to New York. We go at least once a year, and we're always hanging with the men and women of the NYPD, which is really one of the finest law enforcement agencies in the world. And I mean, they are so nice. Everybody's always happy to see you. And we watch the way they interact with the public. You and I were remarking about that this last January when we were there, and we were so impressed. You know, and it just seems like all the tourists and the people come from all over the world, and they always want to get their pictures taken with the men and women from the NYPD. And to see these fine and brave and upstanding men and women be humiliated in public by this recent spat of bad behavior. And it, you know, Lynn, it almost seems to me like it's a contest. And I think it's going to be a virus. I think it's going to go nationally, and you're going to see this starting to happen in different cities in the United States as people compare YouTube videos, right? So one guy does something, and now somebody else has got to do a one-upmanship, and that's what's going to be dangerous about this, because right now they're hitting them with water. What's going to happen when they start hitting them with frozen water bottles? What's going to happen when they start throwing milkshakes at them? Are you familiar with that term, milkshake?
Yes.
That's a thing where they put the acid and everything, and they mix it up with cement, and cement has acid in it too. And they throw that on people, and it burns your skin, and you can't get it off your skin. This is the kind of stuff that is going to start happening. We're going to get officers injured, and officers are not going to put up with getting injured. They're going to start using force, and I'm worried about that, because it could come to deadly force, depending on what the officers are assaulted with. And then everybody's going to be sorry for that.
Well, and then you know, you have police suicides, which are on the rise. And in 2018, this police suicides outnumbered the line of duty deaths for the third straight year, with Chicago leading the way. But New York just had another suicide in the last day or two. And, you know, I mean, we're just losing officers left and right with this. And in the meantime, as that's happening, you have people like the mayor of Chicago, who's caught on a hot mic calling the police union leader a clown. Right. And you have, you know, Bill de Blasio doing his thing. And then you have another one that you were talking to me about.
Well, I want to talk about the third column, all right? Okay. Because, you know, the third column is the enemy. It's the enemy behind you, all right? So you've got the enemy that you're fighting, right? In a battle area. You got the enemy that you're fighting, but then you got the enemy behind you. And the enemy that behind you are the people from your own army, or the people from your own country, that are basically doing everything they can to obstruct, to resist you, to hurt you, and to insult you, and to disenfranchise you, and to diminish you. And this is what we're seeing across the United States. So who do I identify as the third column? The first people that I identify as the third column are people like this idiot captain from Department of Corrections in the state of New York, And it's LaShonda Rasheed Stanley. And so she tweets out and she Facebooks out and she took it down, but somebody took a screenshot of it and I've got a screenshot of it. And she is encouraging the murder of police officers. She said in her message, she said, F the police. They kill innocent people, and we need to get the people to stand up and start shooting and murdering police officers. This is a woman who is a Department of Corrections captain. I want to see if she survives the week with respect to her job, because she identifies herself as a captain. I looked at her LinkedIn site, and she identifies herself as a captain, not as a private individual. So that these are the types of people that we have in our own organizations that encourage people to injure us and kill us, and they insult us. The other people are the puppets. They are these chiefs of police, these appointed chiefs of police from across the country, and sometimes sheriffs. And what they do in their bad behavior is they do not support their officers. They tell officers to stand down when they need to be protecting people. Just like up in Portland, Oregon, where the chief told his officers to stand down. He's a big Antifa supporter. I think his last name is Wheeler. And Andy Ngo gets beaten, almost beaten to death and seriously injured. And Andy Ngo is a Asian gay conservative columnist. And so they just They stood back. I remember when Trump was running for office back in 2016 or 2017, the anti-Trumpers, the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter people came into San Jose, and the chief of police there, Andy Garcia, it's alleged that Andy Garcia told his officers to stand down. All right. And I had a couple of officers from the department that told me that they were told by command staff to stand down. And that, if you remember, Linda, was when a couple of people got beat up. That woman got egged. She got chased down the, you know, down the street. She got trapped in some doors trying to get back into her hotel, and she was assaulted. She was pelted with eggs. She was in bad shape. And these are the people. The female sheriff here in Texas, up in our state capital, in Austin, in our capital there. She's an anti-ICE person. She will not help ICE. And same in San Antonio, same in Dallas, same in Houston, same in San Jose, same in San Francisco, same in Los Angeles with Michael Moore. Just absolutely disgraceful. The chief of police of the city of Los Angeles not helping ICE when that is a huge problem in Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a war on police, and it's all over the country. And again, it's just really bad politicians that are just making it worse. And then you have, you know, these people that are giving examples to our youth, and then they follow suit. And now you have, you know, teenagers in Italy murdering a police officer in Italy, our U.S. teenagers. I mean,
over a drug,
the lack of respect, right, for law enforcement. You know, it's just wrong. It is getting worse. We are losing our officers. We're going to be losing our rule of law in this country if this continues the way that it is, because nobody's going to want to be an officer with the way that the officers are being prosecuted and treated by our politicians. And rightfully so, they should not want to be an officer under those circumstances. Why should they go risk their life every day to protect and defend people? Because, by the way, nobody calls a police officer when they're having a birthday party and they're happy. They call an officer when there is something bad happening to help them. You know, an officer is going to a call all the time for something that is bad and something that is dangerous to somebody.
Absolutely. You know, you've raised so many good points. And the thing that really bothers me now is to see these political prosecutions of officers. Listen, there are officers, and you know, Lynn, I've worked a number of cases involving officers and the prosecution of officers. So I'm not going to say that out of 900,000 officers in the United States, we don't have a few bad apples, but nothing in comparison whatsoever to what the media tries to portray out there. And look at just what happened, you know, during the last couple of weeks up in Dallas County with that good officer. As a matter of fact, a black officer, Officer Derek Wiley, who's on trial basically for his life for shooting a drug-influenced man who, with a long criminal history, who fights with Wiley, tries to grab his gun, and then gets up and turns around in an aggressive posture as if he has a gun. And Officer Wiley said, "Oh my God, I'm going to get killed." And it's dark and it's foggy and it's raining. And he sees him pointing at him and he shoots him. And they go ahead and they prosecute him for that. Thank God we got that officer acquitted. But that is why people don't want to go on the job. And those people that are on the job, they want to leave the job.
Well, sure, and you can't blame them. Hey, I wonder if we have just a moment to talk about a little boy that really is a hero.
Well, let's go. Yeah, we do have a minute. We can talk about that before bedtime.
Okay, well, in Chicago, there was a family that actually there was a five-year-old boy who is being credited with saving 13 people from a Chicago house fire.
Oh my gosh.
So this little boy, he actually was not at home at the time. He was staying with his aunt in her house, and his name is Jaden Espinosa, and he woke up about 4 a.m. to smoke and flames in this brick building that he was in. It's a 2.5-story brick home. And what he did is he got up and he alerted people on the second floor to get up and, you know, got everybody moving. And he was yelling that there was a fire. And he said fire was coming into the kitchen. And he got everybody up and people started to stand up and, you know, run around. And he said, "No, no, you have to crouch and move." Wow. So apparently he learned his lesson somewhere.
Oh, it's cool. Because the fire department comes out and they teach the kids how to get down and to stay underneath the smoke. Yep.
So all 13 people got out of that house. And that's because that little boy woke up and took action.
Wow. That is a fantastic way to end our evening coffee chatter that happens to be iced tea. So yep. Are you ready for bed? Because the dog, I'm looking at the dog over there. Look at that, Linda. She's conked out.
She always conks out before us. She's got an early bedtime.
Well, all right.
Got the right idea.
Let's go join her, okay?
Okay, you got it.
All right.